Grace, mercy, and peace to you from our Lord and Savior, Christ Jesus. Amen. We gather, not just in the opportunity to see three youth confirmed today, but to remember our own confirmations or our confessions of faith, however that may have been before the Lord. And that's the purpose of confirmation, to help the youth get to that point where they are ready to make that confession of faith to the Lord. They need to understand what it is they're confessing. I've always looked at it like going to a Chinese restaurant. I'm not always sure what's in that spring roll, and I want to know before I put it in my mouth. So, yeah, I need to make a judgment call here, but I need some more information. That's what our youth are doing. They're making a judgment call on their faithfulness and their pledges of faith to the Lord. And to do that, they need a little more information. So, 3 years to get it into their heads. 3 years. Golly, you know, some churches do it in two. You know, in some places, you don't even have to do 2 years. You had to do three. I've had to do it for about 30 almost now. So, let me tell you, it's I'm still going. You know, and as was said in another service, one of these days I might actually graduate. It's not graduation, though, is it? We talked about that, too. This is just that next step of faith. Confirmation is that opportunity to go on to where they're going next. And to do that, I got some good news and some bad news for you. Because this, the catechism, the church, LCMS has just decided to redo the catechism. Well, they decided a couple years back, but they got a new catechism out now. So this one you can't even get anymore, so we have to start it all over again. So a lot of it's changed. So, no? No, okay. Fortunately, that big thing, which I always find has been all right, I call this the small catechism. And I say they call it, we call it, I'm one of them. But I got Bibles that are smaller than this, and it's got a lot more to it. The small catechism actually is that. Just a few words, and that's so thick because of the thousands of Bible verses that are in it talking about these articles of faith. That's the difference. We know the Ten Commandments, we know the Lord's Prayer, we know the Creed, we know about baptism, we know about confession and forgiveness, and we know about the sacrament of the altar, and we're there. That's the small catechism. And everything else that's added to that is Bible verses to tell us why those things are important and where God says those. So the catechism is what it is. But it's changed over the years because back in the 50s, they didn't talk about things like euthanasia. And that made it into one of the last catechisms. Actually, this is the third one since we've had one that I was confirmed with. And then 20 years ago, we weren't talking so much about bioethics. And now that's something that we have to deal with in the church, too, about where do we come out on these things and the decisions and what they're doing science-wise with human body, and so we continue to change some of those questions and answers, but that's not what they're saying they agree with. You can disagree with some of the questions in there. Those are developed by pastors and other theologians, but they're not all something that you have to buy into. But the catechism itself, those articles of faith, those are what bind us together. They hold us together. And unless we are held together, we become remnants, just fragments out there, pieces of a whole. We might believe some of this, but we don't necessarily buy into all of this, perhaps. But as a remnant, we can also be connected to other remnants and become something of value again if we gather together with others who believe as we do. That's what we've done in the church. We gather together with other believers, and we become something much better than we would be if we were out on our own. At the end of the confirmation service itself, portion of the rite of confirmation, the youth are going to tear a piece of cloth from this pattern. And the background on this is just black and shows lots of stars. And from that's all it is. It's just stars and stars and stars, like in the cosmos. But as they tear off a piece of that, that piece is something that obviously was connected to something much larger. And what you don't see is that it's also a piece that's connected to something even larger still, because it goes back to four confirmations. classes before you. And I started using this particular piece of cloth to tear off portions for the compound to be able to have and to hold on to. Wherever they are, however old they may be, if they have that piece of cloth, they can look at that and know that they are part of something that was much bigger, and hopefully be reminded to stay connected to the church, as that church is where the remnants gather together and can be so much more than if we're on our own. It's kind of like a quilt. It takes the pieces, remnants all over the place sometimes, and gathers us together as a body of believers and makes something beautiful out of what would just be fragments out of life. Fragments, the way that scraps, leftovers. Most of us wouldn't have any use for a small piece of cloth. Unless you're a quilter, then you know how to do something with that. Most of us are not. And so there's no value to it. But God is like that quilter in a sense, where he sees value. And something that others would discard. And sometimes that's the way we are in this life. Others may look to cast us off, or to go away from us, to leave us behind. But as long as we seek out that fellowship of fellow believers, of Christians, we can become something that is great. And God is the one that does that. He weaves together the fabric of all the prophecy. Who we are as a body of believers. People from various walks of life, from different social groups, from different races, from different ethnic groups, from we are here. And we are a people. We profess a faith today. Now that's the easy part, actually. Professing your faith. This is going to be easy. I know you were thinking, oh, I don't want to do this, the stress and the strain, right? No big deal. This is the easy part. Living it out after this, that's where it gets harder. Living out your faith. And as I'm talking to the confidants, it's not just to the confidants. It's all of us. This is where it is to live out your faith. You confirm your faith today. You say, I believe this. It's not just something that my folks believe or the church believes. It's something I believe. And beyond that, how do you show me this? How do you live out that belief when you get into high school, when you get into college, and even beyond that? There are multiple versions of the old joke about something that's in the church that folks wanted to get rid of. Bats in the bell tower, pigeons in the steeple, mice in the kitchen. And the joke punchline is always the same. Baptize them, confirm them, and you won't see them for another 20 years. And the sad thing is there's some truth in that. Because once we finish with this time of study, often people just kind of fall away. Youth and their families. Because we figure, well, we've graduated, we've got it done. We're finished with all we need to know. That's not the case. You never have it all in your head, in your heart. You're not going to know everything there is to know until that day that you're with Jesus himself in the glories of heaven. So there is still an opportunity for us to grow, to learn, to share, to be a part of the body, to be something greater than we are. If we're fragments on our own. God's called you by name. And God has given you a name. In the waters of holy baptism, our youth were all confirmed. And that this child is God's child. Now they are confirming that that faith that they were baptized in is their faith. And God is their God. And that not only God saying that you belong to me always, but you're saying, I will hold on to you always. Jeremiah the prophet was urged by the people. They said, please, pray for us. Petition the Lord for this entire remnant because of the things that were going on for them. And Jeremiah responds in our text. He says, this is what the Lord, the God of Israel, says. If you stay in this land, I will build you up. I will not tear you down. I will plant you, not uproot you. I'm with you. I'll save you. I'll deliver you, he says. I'll show you compassion if you stay in this land. For us, that's something that still applies. It's not a land that's a geographic idea. If we stay together as this people of God, is what he's telling us, then the blessings that he has to pour upon us are so much greater than what we'll ever know or be able to experience on our own. God calls you, to each of you, by name. He says, if you stay with me, you belong to me, and I'll be able to bless you so much more than if you go out and try to do this on your own. And he gives us the church to make it possible for us to be a people together. We make a promise to each other. You will make a promise before everyone here to God. You're making a promise before them in the church that you're going to be faithful in your worship, be faithful in your participation in the church as you become older in life, as you get more adult than you are, that you're going to stay connected to the church. It's not just a matter of saying, I believe in you, God, but I'm going to follow you, God. And that's an important part of this confirmation, is that confession of that promise that we are going to be his children, as he's called us to be. Wherever you go, wherever you are, wherever you are in life, you're part of the fabric of this congregation and this family, because this is where your roots are. You're children of God, and you're children of this church. And we all are. On the back of a chair in my office, and the confirmation attested this, there's already a strip of this cloth, isn't there? Because from the confirmation classes before, there's a couple other strips of different cloths from the confirmation classes, even before them, going back last 13 years. And that's so that I see them and remember these every day I come to my office. I know my confirmands are out there and they need prayers. We'll leave a portion of this cloth laying out on the lectern or the railing on the office for the next month so that as we see it, hopefully we will keep in our prayers these confirmands, remembering that they are out there and they can to need those prayers. And I pray for you, and you'll continue to pray for you. But you have to pray too. Because it's not just enough that your parents and your godparents and family members and loved ones pray for you. But we have to do the praying ourselves and take on that next step of faith. Be the adult children of God that he calls all of us to be. Even as a patchwork, you are something great. But you will always be something much more when you unite with the church, when you unite your faith with others who believe like you believe, and when you seek to be a part of that patchwork of remnants, that quilt that only God can make happen and bless us in. And so as we prepare to hear their confession, I would ask you to remember your confession and profession before the Lord on your belief, on who you trust in, on why you trust in him, and not just say those words, but now consider also, how are you going to actually live that? How do you follow faith? How do you show that you're not just a remnant, but you're part of something greater, and continue to be part of something greater? Jesus is the one that brings us all together and holds us together in his hand. The peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts, your minds, and your lives always in your faithfulness to Christ, our Savior, our Lord, and our God.